2-3-1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's back. If you don't like a guest, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a little get bad. For the strong link, go direct to dlgs.org. And IRC challenge on linuxbig.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 8.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen?
I was nice.
Sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show.
Oh, I screwed up. <And that's bad. laughs>
If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass.
Alright, hold on. What did I do there? Oh! That's
he's
what I
coordinated.
Did. Yeah, welcome to episode 839 of The Failure. The yeah, no, why did I do that? I played the intro before every, I'm sorry. Well, welcome to episode 839 on the show for the first show for 2020. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy 2020.
We have Joel.
Do not have 2020 vision, but I am here.
Flying Rich.
Hey, from the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command, hanging out.
And the man, the myth, the legend, Joe.
Hello, hello.
Welcome. I have to step away in a few minutes, but I wanted to just cover a couple of things in case I don't get to later. Before we left last time, I was talking about the project I was working at work to do data generation, random data generation for a database. And boy, man, it's been kicking my ass these past couple of days. I thought that the random data generation was going to be difficult, the difficult part, but it wasn't. Because I talked about before about using the Faker library. Works like a charm. Then I thought, like, building the relationships would be the most challenging part. That meaningful relationships. That, I got that licked before I left on the holiday. So when we came back, there was a few things I had to, you know, clean up and get right, and I was ready to continue on, and I was happy with it. And then they said to me, make it look like production looks right now. And I'm like, okay, no problem. So I start digging into how production looks, and I'm like, holy crap, how the hell am I going to do this? So now I was working with smallish data sets of like 1,000, maybe 2,000. So again, just to reiterate a little bit, it's called a planning database. So you have contributors who make the plans and lists. So contributors make lists. There's two type of lists. There's lists and topic lists. And then there's plans, and plans are either part of a list or a topic list. Now, the relationship between lists and plans is that every plan has to have one list, right? But a list can have multiple plans. And the restriction is that no list could have the same plan twice. So the relationship between lists and plans, there could be many plans to a list, there could be many lists to a plan, but each list can only have one and only one of that plan associated with it. So I start looking at the data in production, and there are approximately 2,000 lists, not bad. There are about 360,000 plans, not bad, right? That's not difficult to generate. The relationship between lists and plans is abysmal. It ranges from some lists have one plan all the way up to one list has 23,000 plans associated with it, right? And it's not like a bell curve kind of thing. The median. So I spent today trying to figure out how the hell, the third time around trying to figure out how I'm going to do this, right? The median. Now, if you don't know what median is, there's like mean, median, mode, the way that the data is distributed. So the mean is, the way you calculate the mean is you add up all the values and you then divide it by the total number of values.
Wait, Dan, how did this start out? Somebody said hello? What? Is this the elevator talk?
Elevator talk of what? At work?
I don't know, man. Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is how it's like. So what
is this? Were we talking about what you get for Christmas?
I'm just covering this quickly because I'm asking. I want to throw out this advice in case I can't get to it later because I have to jet for a bit. But I know this is some heavy. This is some crazy stuff. So the distribution is like. So the mean is like 363, right? And that's just the mean of the range of values. But the median, which is the middle point where the same number of values appear on one left side as on the right, is 70, right? And then the mode is 1. So there's like 184 lists just have 1 entry. And then it kind of cascades down from there. Double digit numbers for like the first 15. And then after that, it's like all single digit numbers all the way up to that list that has 23,000 associated with it. And I am just racking my brains trying to figure out how I'm going to take 300 lists, 300 plans and associate them with 2,000 lists so that no plan appears in the same list more than once. No plan appears on more than 26 lists, but retains a similar distribution that reflects production, which almost seems like an exponential distribution where it starts like at the left side is the lowest number, which would be 1, has the greatest number of appearances. The greatest number of lists have that number and cascades all the way down in the single digits when you get way out there. Now, I even cut off the outliers, like 9 lists have more than 5,000 plans associated with them. So I just cut it off at 2,000. And the best that I've been able to do with all the different kind of distributions that I've been associating with is to get more of a bell curve going. If anybody has any ideas, please throw it my way. Contact me. I would love to solve this problem.
Grade, man.
Yeah, because I'm digging through different types of distribution methods and probability methods, and I'm like, how the hell do I use any of this stuff? Like, figuring out standard deviation, well, not that difficult, but what I'm working with is a spanner database. So, like, if you work with SQL and some databases, will have functions for figuring out standard deviations, but Google Spanner doesn't. So I had to do it programmatically, which wasn't that bad. But even then, after I did that and applied it to, the random normal distribution model, it created a bell curve. And that's not what I need. I need a slope. And it's very challenging. And then there's also like restrictions in there that, again, like I said, no plan can appear on more than 26 lists. No plan can appear on the same list more than once. And there's 2,000 lists. Yeah. So it's a crazy thing. So that's been a challenge. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a nice holiday, wonderful holiday. What was the other thing I wanted to say? Oh,
got it.
Hacker Public Radio. New Year's Eve. I know you were there, Joe. Anybody else get on there?
I was just around with the family and all that.
Yep, I did.
Oh man, I enjoy that. I'm so bad.
It was a good time. Claudio was on there when I was on there. A few other people.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. Joe was on there when I was on there. It was good. You know what I realized?
Ken was on and off all day. Ken Fallon.
Yeah, and Ken wasn't on when I was on. unfortunately. Okay. One of the things I realized is that I have been way too much on the coding side of things that, like, I've been so far removed from a lot of hardware stuff and just, like, general Linux distribution and administration for a long time. I felt, like, out of place in some of those discussions. I'm like, I don't know. But it was good. I enjoyed it.
I'd say you're kind of like me now. So you're working primarily with cloud resources. You usually don't give a fuck about server technology. You just care that it runs. You know, I mean, that's at least that's where I'm at anyway.
Yeah, one of the things that I find, like, kind of annoying is if you, and I don't know of any other, it's like some of the standard tools that I used to use for looking at different, like, hardware issues or like resource consumption don't work properly in a containerized environment.
Yeah, that's true. But you don't get like you can tell how many virtual processors you have, but you really don't know how many true cores that you have on a system when you're completely 100% virtualized. So
yeah, see, if I log into a container and I want to see, well, how much is it being used? And you do that and you're like, wait, how does it have, it's only supposed to have these two, but you're seeing the resources on the host system.
AWS or the,
yeah, you see those kind of resources in there too. So, I mean, there's ways to get that information. It's just, I'm like, oh, I miss the old days of convenience and bare metal, right? Right, Joe? Yeah. Bare metal.
But you know what though? So often now with the virtualized infrastructures, people forget some of those old skills that still do apply. Like I had a client, I had an issue like, tail end of last week, cause I actually worked, after New Year's. And they're saying, well, this screen is awfully slow. All right. And I'm like, okay, let's go back to basics. So I went through, lo and behold, I found a .NET config that was not set properly. And I'm like, did anybody bother to dig and look at it? Nope. So I went and found that and we fixed it. And lo and behold, it fixed the problem. Or like today, we're the only group in my company that for non-prod, we will trigger priority 2 alerts. Alright, so that we get our on call or, during the day, one of us on it. And, so that happened today. Actually, that didn't happen today, but they were having problems, with some of their environments. So I go in there and find it. And I'm like, now we have Linux based clients. And we have what clients that are, Windows and SQL based. And this happened to be in Windows and SQL. So in Windows and SQL, the app home folder pretty much is only supposed to hold the binaries for the ERP application, and probably about 90% of the data is going to be stored in SQL. Okay, so the app home folder on a Windows machine is usually pretty small. You know, I would say, by pretty small, I'd say no more than about 7 to 10 gigs at most. Okay, it just depends on how customized they are. How much garbage data is in hold directories and stuff like that, okay? So, I looked at this app home folder, and it's 20 gigabytes. I'm like, what in the heck is going on? So I found a tool, I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was a free, portable tool. And when I flew it on there, that basically helps you visualize the folder and where the data is being used. Go and find out. Now, in our situation, the Unidata folder, the Unidata is still used, in a SQL ERP system that we manage. All right. So most of the data is in SQL. However, there's probably roughly 13 files that are still Unidata files. I go in there and there's a file called UT thrown errors. UT is, usually a technical or, technical user part of the application. Thrown errors is when the application throws an error, it's gonna drop an entry into this log file. And, that log file, for one of my clients was 13 gigabytes. That same file, well, it's not really a log file, it's actually a database file, Unidata database file. But on another one, they were 17 gigabytes. So there's my, there's why the folder was 20 gigabytes. It basically, ever since they were brought into the cloud, nobody's ever gone in and purged that, all those errors. Now, one of the things I want to try and propose to set up for as many of my clients as I can is automate the shit. Clean that stuff automatically. You're not going to look at something that's more than a month old, pretty much. So, but that all came from going back to basics and looking, you know, and going and digging in at the file level and looking at things to find the issues. That seems to be a concept that is missing, that is foreign to some of the younger folks. So, anyway. You still there, Dan?
I am here.
Okay. So, what was your other... Your other thing, I think you mentioned it. So I think... You had two things you wanted to mention before you had to run?
I'll save the other thing, because it was just like upgrades and stuff like that. But I did have a question for Joe. Is... That's I'm looking at that Dell PS6500, Equalogic CS6500, man. That thing is
huge.
What
you mentioned on the pre-show.
Yeah. I mean, it's, it takes up, I think, 4 rack spaces.
It looks like it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That pulls out and then the drives plug in from the top?
Yes.
Wow. How many drives can you put in that thing?
I think it's like 48.
48?
It's got two controllers in it.
That's like if you do pack a thing full of dry space and actually want to fire it up, you might as well stick a sucker in the garage because you don't want it anywhere in the house because it'll be noisier than fuck.
Yeah.
Plus so, the heat it generates.
Yeah, that too.
But you don't have to use like their special drives or anything for it, right? Because they look like they're – some of those drives look expensive.
Yeah, I don't know much about it yet. I mean, literally an hour and a half before the show, I got home with that in the car. And I'm pretty sure it takes SAS drives, but the guy sent some adapters along with it for SATA.
Did your car lean to the side when you were driving this thing?
That's not quite that heavy. I mean, I can lift it by myself.
Joe, what do you intend on doing with this thing?
I have no clue. I have no clue how to set it up.
When I see, you know, data center hardware, and don't get me wrong, I've always thought about, oh, yeah, that'd be cool, you know, having this whatever, however many cores, CPU, blah, blah, blah. Then I think about the heat and the power usage. I'm like, are you out of your frickin' mind?
Yeah, no, that is definitely a concern. And I doubt that when it's,
unless you're Dan,
if it were set up with 48 drives, that it would be anywhere near wife-friendly. So spousal approval is negative. So
what you need is, you know, like putting a Bitcoin mining rig in your Tesla so you could just power your Bitcoin mining rig off the Tesla power supply because it's free.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to get, a 5G hotspot and put it in your Prius or your Tesla or whatever, and then you're set.
Yeah, so
build a heat shed with air conditioning in the backyard.
Yeah,
or use it to heat your swimming pool.
With that 6500, if I set it up, it'd be perfect this time of year, but come summer.
Yep. Yep. I personally would probably try and sell it for scrap metal because it's probably pretty heavy, full of aluminum.
It's extremely heavy, and it's also, I didn't know it when he gave it to me. I looked it up at home, and some of the prices for that thing working, which this supposedly is, I have not hooked it up, I have not tested it, are insane, like $6,500.
Yeah, that's for refurbished, too.
Damn.
And so that, wow. That's what I was saying, man. Wow.
Now I kind of feel bad. Like, the guy just, literally, he took it out of his truck and we set it in the back of my car, and I found out about it about 30 minutes before I got off of work that he was giving it away.
Maybe he tried to sell and he was like, this thing ain't going anywhere.
Well, he got it for free and, I know the guy. He's a really nice guy. And if he got it for free, then he was giving it away. He also has an older, server that he says his spouse doesn't really like because it sounds like a jet engine that he's selling for like $200. So.
Of course not. Yeah, I had that one of those servers that Link gave me. They had.
Yeah.
I had that on for a while, and my wife said, "When are you gonna turn that thing off?" And I'm like, "Okay."
I couldn't stand
it either. That was an old copper mine machine too. Holy crap, it was slow too.
So yeah, that PS6500. Since I don't have any of the drives to set it up, I might end up putting like one SATA drive in it just to play around with it for a little while. But mostly it's going to sit in my garage until I figure out something else to do with it.
You'll put that one drive in and it'll spit it out and say, really? Come on.
Yeah, pretty much.
Fork up the money. Fill me up. Feed me. Feed me, Joe.
Feed me, Seymour.
I'll either end up giving it away the same way I got it or I'll end up selling it because I'd have to sell it locally, so I'm definitely not going to get the value out of it because there's no way I'm shipping that thing anywhere.
Man. That's a gift that keeps on giving. Hernias.
Right?
50 pounds, it says, on this one slide is about the weight of it.
Mm-hmm. I pretty much got gift cards for Christmas.
All right, I got to step away. I'll be right back.
I got guns for Christmas. Since Dan left, we can talk guns.
Or not.
Or 3D printing or CPAP machines.
Works for me.
Not CPAP machines. No, I got like a $50 gift card from my dad. And I got, I found on Amazon a combination USB hub with the mini, the smaller HD, I guess you call it DisplayPort, which is what my Surface Pro has. It's basically designed to just stick on the side of the Surface Pro and it expands it to have, a full size HDMI, two USB ports, a micro, and a full size SD card slot and Ethernet. I believe it's gigabit.
It's like a replacement device.
No, it's just a USB hub. It's not powered. It just hangs on the side and it's designed so it plugs in so that you can still plug in your standard, Surface Pro charging cable. So, makes it a little bit more useful. Well, granted, my mouse, I have a Bluetooth mouse for it, so I don't need a port for the mouse, but when I plug in, like if I plug in a USB hard drive, and if I want to plug in something like my phone or something at the same time into the Surface, I can't do that because there's only one USB port on it. So now I can. So that was like $20 or $30. It wasn't that expensive. And then I bought some K-Cups, which are already gone. My favorite, Death Wish coffee. But so that, and then let's see. My one niece, like, handmade this, like, little bag, which had my gift in it, and it was a box of emergency. She's broke all the time. She doesn't make a lot of money, so that's fine. I don't care. I don't look gift horses in the mouth. But I didn't really get any tech. Wife and I, we really don't exchange gifts. We just kind of go buy something and say, that's our Christmas gift. Okay, that's fine. So I guess I kind of did that when I bought my Osmo Pocket a month or so before Christmas. So, but, then we stayed in a hotel down, for the first time ever, down in Tennessee because my dad just didn't have the space in his house. And it was actually kind of nice because it gave us the space, that we didn't have to worry about too much. We stayed at Holiday Express and they had, not that I cared, but on Christmas Day they had no maid service. I don't care about that shit, but. So they just put like a basket outside your door with extra towels and stuff, so which is perfectly fine by me. And but Christmas Day was extremely foggy. Not just in Tennessee, it was kind of up here too. I don't know what it was like in Pennsylvania. But I know there was just a huge bank of fog over both Tennessee and Ohio. And so I got up in the morning and looked outside, and it was kind of foggy. So I thought, well, let's try flying the drone. And I got one of the coolest drone videos. I basically flew up over the fog bank. And for a small, short time, I was not able to see the drone. But of course, I was able to get it back. But in the meantime, I did have a cool video. I'm trying to think if I posted it over on MeWe. I did have it on Facebook, so.
And then, are you admitting to something illegal there? Isn't it illegal to lose sight of your drone?
Technically, probably, yes.
Okay. Checking to make sure there.
But in any event, it was a good trip. We went to Dollywood. Dollywood is freaking expensive.
Are they charging
Dollywood?
Yeah, I think it was $79 a person.
Wow. It's open in the winter.
Yeah, they do a special Christmas thing where they don't open up like the water rides and shit, but they open up like a lot of the roller coasters and stuff. We didn't really ride anything. We went in there. Anytime you go down there, there's a place called Aunt Granny's, and it's basically an all-you-can-eat deal in the park. And for the three of us, it's like $80. But dude, we got our money's worth. So I mean. You know, that's probably far better. You probably pay near the same to just have a hamburger fry and a drink in another stand. Theme parks are just freaking outrageously
they
expensive
are
nowadays.
Very expensive.
So I really don't go to too many of them anymore. So I just don't enjoy riding where I'm, you know, when we were kids. Now, some of it is just I'm a much bigger person than I was when I was a kid. But even then, even that, without that, aside, modern roller coasters, they have you so strapped in them, and it's not funny. When we were kids, they just had that U-bar that goes over your head, and that was about it. Now you got that, plus a seatbelt buckle and everything else.
I don't want anybody to fall out of the fucking thing.
Yeah, that's for sure. But, and then did go see Rise of Skywalker, much better than I thought it would be.
No spoilers.
Yeah, it's worth it. I don't know if you want to wait until it hits Disney Plus or if it hits, I don't know if it'll ever hit Netflix.
Probably not. It'll be on DVD or Blu-ray.
But it's one of those things that kind of answers all the questions.
The meaning of life?
42? No, like why is Rey so freaking powerful? And there I put the link to should be that. I think that's the link to my video. Oh wait, I keep forgetting. I can't just copy paste that. Hold on, that's the wrong link. There, that should be better. And there you go. And then I did get to watch The Mandalorian, mostly because I signed up or basically added Disney Plus onto my Hulu subscription, which only raised that up by like $2 or $3. And the main reason I did it wasn't actually to watch that; it was to think that I could watch the Ohio State game, which unfortunately they lost, on ESPN Plus. Well, come to find out, you still have to have a cable subscription in order to watch the game on ESPN Plus, which is bullshit. So it's like, if you pay the extra money for ESPN Plus, it basically, the only thing you get with that is to see pre-recorded stuff. No live sports. So it's kind of pointless. They haven't learned. And that's okay for me because I hate ESPN because they just cannot leave politics out of sports.
It's fucking annoying. They can't leave politics out of fucking anything. Just shut the fuck up. Do your fucking job. Life goes on. It will be over.
I will say this. Rise of Skywalker, there was a little bit of it, but nowhere near as much as...
Oh, they went back. They went back and saved the animals they had in the racing on the casino planet. But left the slave kids there.
Gotcha. No, none of that. None of that. That stuff actually doesn't even come up. and no new version of Admiral Pinkhair.
Thank God. Admiral Cockblock, as you should have named her.
Who is Laura Dern, believe it or not? She was the blonde one that was in Jurassic Park.
Yeah, she's okay, but that role was fucking horrendous. That character was useless. So annoying.
Yeah, a whole lot less of that. And that doesn't really ruin anything by me saying that. There was just a whole lot less of that. That also stands to the reason why critics didn't really like it as much, but it's got an 85% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes from the fans, not the critics. Definitely not a perfect movie, and it's, of course, it's full of "that doesn't make sense" kind of things. You know, like in The Last Jedi, you had bombers in space that dropped
shit.
Yes,
yeah.
But, you know, I expect that in Star Wars, okay? You don't get, you know, I'll put it this way. Even the J.J. Abrams verse of Star Trek has not as many holes as Star Wars does with that kind of stuff. Because Star Wars, or Star Trek, I should say, is a little bit more...
When's Picard coming on?
Science. That's January 23rd, and I'm going to watch it. Yeah, I am going to watch it. I'm going to at least give it a chance. And I am so happy I gave The Mandalorian a chance. If you don't have Disney Plus, it's worth it.
Yeah, Mandalorian was awesome.
Yeah, it's worth it just for that. And now it's all out. All 8 episodes are out, so you can pay for it for a month and then cancel it and then bring it back when it comes back on.
Just the Baby Yoda, right?
The child. I'm not going to call it Baby Yoda, but... Everybody else calls it Baby Yoda, but the child is, it steals the show in a lot of ways, but then, I think the thing
is
I like
is it a puppet or is it CGI?
Actually, it's a puppet.
I'm kind of glad that's what they want.
It's actually both, really. I think it's both a puppet and CGI. It up. Yeah. Cause there's certain, like, for example, when he's walking, that's CGI, probably. But when he's just sitting in his little leg, that's definitely a puppet. In fact, I thought Frank Oz did the puppetry for it. So, who was the original guy who did it for Yoda? So, but I think the best part of it is it's a new story. It is. There's not one character in The Mandalorian that has been in anything else except for you can count Rebels or the Clone Wars, because I think the moth that's in the Mandalorian, I think he was in one of the cartoons. I can't remember which one.
I think that's the way for them to go in the future, doing a TV show.
Yeah, something new.
You know, they can go in different directions.
Or let's find out more about Emperor Palpatine. Let's go back to when Plagueis was still here. That would be an interesting storyline. And things of that nature go before Anakin and Luke. But that or way in the future too. Either way, but now I did hear through the grapevine that there is possibly another Chris Pine-based Star Trek again on the table again. I know it got canceled because they couldn't sign them all, but I think it's coming back. And I want to say, I think the same guy who helped with the script for Rogue One, I think he's writing a script for that too, possibly. I don't know. Oh wait, I'm confusing that in the Last Starfighter continuation. So.
Yeah, we keep hearing news about that. I keep hoping for something definitive.
I do too, because I really liked the movie for The Last Starfighter, and I'd really like to know what happened after The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, but, well, I don't know if I'd want a continuation. I might want a reboot for that instead.
Might be good too.
The Tron continuation, yeah, was a really good movie. It just didn't make any money, and so they're not going to do another one again unless it's another 20 years down the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, what was it? I saw a video clip of Pawn Stars where he bought a bunch of, let's see, what did he buy? He bought Willy Wonka props. Like, he bought a Wonka bar and, the Everlasting Gobstopper. Stage use props. Alright. Willy Wonka failed in a box office, believe it or not. But people still watch it today. The original Willy Wonka actually did not make that much money.
Classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it did become a cult classic.
Thanks to cable and HBO, I think, because that's right. Where I first saw it.
The new Tron really hasn't. The old Tron really, I don't think it did all that well in box office either.
No, it didn't.
But it did become an immediate cult classic.
I saw the original Tron in the movie theater when it came out.
Yep. I never seen it in the theater, I don't think. I think I saw it on HBO, but... But, you know, that I just like that, whether it's a remake or not, that sci-fi is, I won't say starting to make a comeback. I think it never really left. But, I like how they did The Mandalorian.
At least everything right now is not all vampires and zombies.
Or fucking, or remake. Pirates. You know.
Oh, it's all it all seems to be remakes. Some and random of it continuations.
Is. Right, right. Some of it is, but like now, see, The Mandalorian was set between Jedi and The Force Awakens. So it was in that tumultuous time right after the Empire fell. But, if we really want to believe that after the events of Rise of Skywalker, because there's no secret in it, and it doesn't really ruin the movie to know that Palpatine's back. But or depending on how you look at it, never really left. So, but and there's some things with that they didn't really explain. You know, how did that happen?
Plot holes. You know?
Well, it brings back the line from Revenge of the Sith where he's practicing things that some people consider unnatural. He used the same line in the movie. So, doesn't really explain how it happened, but, you know, there you go. And it's not ruining anything there.
They bring him back from the dead in the Wonder Woman sequel.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Well, the Wonder Woman sequel is actually set in the past, set in 1984.
Well, he was still dead by 1984, so.
Interesting to see how they bring him back.
That will be interesting. But... Is the J.J. Abrams version of Star Trek as good as the old stuff?
No.
Not really. You know, it's different.
It's decent.
Yeah, it's not completely horrible. You know. But, yeah, and would I go see another one? Oh, heck yeah. You know, because I like, you know, it's kind of, it's really Star Wars is kind of the same. Bad Star Wars is better than no Star Wars at all. And the same thing as pizza, you know, bad pizza is better than no pizza at all, you know?
I disagree.
Yes, yes, but you're one of those snooty people that like New York style pizza.
Yeah.
And only New York style pizza.
The only pizza.
Right. But, and then, Lost in Space Season 2 is back.
So the first episode.
Yeah, let's see, I think, I'm trying to think of what episode I'm on. I'm either on at the end of 2 or starting 3.
The Expanse was awesome on Amazon Prime. It's R-rated now, so they can say fuck and shit and all the other stuff.
Oh, is that why it's good?
It's not, no, not just that, but it's a really good show. It's well done.
And, kind of a neat thing about, Disney Plus is all the old catalog, like every Marvel movie's there. So if there's something you haven't seen, it's there. Well, except for, actually, no, everything's there right now, because even Endgame's there. But...
Bambi.
Bambi.
It's probably in the vault.
It's probably there.
Goofy Christmas.
I didn't look for that. I did watch all 3 Iron Mans again.
Why? I mean, the first one's good, the second one's decent, but the third one's kind of garbage.
I wouldn't say it's garbage.
It's not complete garbage,
no.
But 98% of it is garbage.
I mean, it depends on how much of a purist of living up to Extremis you are, because Extremis is completely different in the MCU.
Yeah, and so is, what's his name?
Aldrich Killian.
Mm.
The Mandarin.
The Mandarin, there you go.
Yep. Who wasn't real in the MCU, but I'm fighting. I keep flip every once in a while. I'll open up the Disney Plus app and flip past the Captain Marvel because I just don't know if I want to see it or not.
It's okay. I have no complaints about
Captain
Marvel.
Well, she's a Mary Sue, though. For sure. I mean, that's the thing, is there's no... At no point do you ever think that she's going to die.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, I mean...
How's it any different than Wonder Woman, though?
True.
Do you think Batman's going to die in any of the Batman movies?
Well, that's a little different, though. At least you see him go through pain, you know? Like when in... I'm trying to remember... it was the second Batman... the second Tim Burton Batman movie. Batman Returns. And, you know, the one with the penguin, where the penguin blows up the Batcave.
Hmm.
But, let's see, I'm trying to think. Oh, I got a Wi-Fi controllable power strip as part of a gift exchange.
Those are fun.
Yeah, the thing I like about it is I can, from my phone, I can shut off any outlet or the USB ports on that strip.
Individually referenceable.
Individually. And it also works on Google, through the Google Assistant. So I have a Lightify light in my bedroom, and then I have a lamp plugged into the power strip, and I can turn both of them on at the same time with one command of the Google Home.
Yeah, I do the same thing with Alexa. It's just a matter of making a group.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also have a strip, a very small strip with like 2 USB ports and 2 full-size plugs that I can address individually, or I can do the whole thing at once because of the grouping.
See, mine was made by a company by the name of Wetton. And the application that they use to control it is called Jinvu Smart.
Cool.
If you use the app itself, but you don't have to use the app. I don't want to say 90% of the time.
Yeah, I think you have to use the app long enough to register, and then you can set it up on whatever service.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I haven't looked at it, but I think I heard that Google Home is adding the ability to schedule actions via the assistant.
That's cool.
So, like, you can set up a schedule to, like, when you're away from the house, you can say turn on the lights at random intervals and stuff like that.
Right. Well, can't you – I thought you could use things like IFTTT.
You probably could, yeah. Let's see. Oh, I did not know this. One thing I recently, I subscribed to SiriusXM, for my, Traverse. I had the radio in the cruise, but we only pay for it in the Traverse because that's the one we always take, when we travel as a family. They just recently added the, streaming to every plan on SiriusXM. So even if you have the level, I don't have, like, there's certain channels I don't have on my Sirius right now. Like, I don't have the NASCAR channel, and a few others.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing that you don't have the NASCAR channel?
It's an indifferent thing. I don't really watch it too much anymore. I used to.
I didn't even know they had a NASCAR channel.
Yeah, they'll put the race. The one nice thing is when you are traveling and you can't watch the race on TV, you can flip it on there and listen to it. You know, they'll call it. And plus, kind of the neat thing they'll do with it is in the channel data that displays on the screen that tells you what channel it is, they'll put who the top five are. So you can just look at at your radio to see who the top five are, but I haven't watched it since Junior retired, so.
I can't imagine listening to NASCAR or any kind of race like that. Yeah. I can't, like, and how do they, like, what do they do in between the races? Like, they're not having a race every day, right?
They actually have shows, believe it or not.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting. They'll interview people and stuff like that. I don't find that shit interesting at all. even when I watched NASCAR, I didn't, but, you know, they have that. So, but now that I have streaming, I just noticed on the Google Home app, I can have SiriusXM stream to my Google Home devices, which I didn't know. So I'll have to try that. And say, hey, SiriusXM, play, I forget what it's called anymore. I think it's called there used to be one called Redneck, Blue Collar Comedy is what it was. But it was like the, Jeff Foxworthy, Larry the Cable Guy, and those kind of comedians that have that kind of sense of humor, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And now it's Jeff and Larry's. Because they think Bill kind of retired. I don't know. Larry the Cable Guy actually has a show on that channel, believe it or not. And I'm like, and when was the last time he was big? but SiriusXM, I like him.
He was on the show?
Yeah.
On Sirius. Everybody, the MTV VJs have shows on Sirius.
80s on 8, yeah. You can listen to Nina Blackwood. I actually like, when she's on, I like listening to that channel because I just always liked Nina Blackwood. But Nina and, trying to remember who else is on there.
Mark Goodman,
Goodman's on there. Yeah.
And, Alan, you know what?
Alan Hunter.
Yeah, it's just stupid because I listen to, like, I'll cycle between the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and, like, Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation and,
yeah.
And the, the Paul, what is it? New Wave, the New Wave stuff and everything. But yeah, so they got the old, like, the old DJs from the 60s, like, who are still alive, like Cousin Brucey's on the 60s. And I forget who the other guy, and then, like, I don't know. The 70s station on a Saturday, I can never figure out what the hell they're playing, because it comes weird through with this weird, like, it's like some kind of top 40 thing of that time period of that day or whatever they're playing, but it never shows the song correctly. It just like shows some weird, like,
now my code. It's funny. There's a Christian channel called The Message on Sirius, and you know, if I have that on, like, when I shut the car off and I start the car back up, the radio will tell me it's Willie's Roadhouse, which is also another channel. But so the only thing I can figure out is that Willie's Roadhouse channel must be where the data stream lives or something. I don't know, but I have some friends that will not listen to Sirius. Or they don't, you know, they don't want to pay for it. Not just because they don't want to pay for the money, because they think it sounds like crap. For me, I can't fucking tell. You know, cause they get the satellite, I guess they use a whole bunch of compression on it, so.
Oh, you know what chaps my ass? Like, so we got that, like, we got that,
you know,
Kia.
What really,
like,
grinds my gears?
Yeah, 4 years ago we got the Kia.
Yeah.
And like a year after we got it, I think one of the kids played the radio too loud and blew out the speakers on the front.
Ah.
So on the door, like, it did the, they did the one and then the other. And I'm like, I should just, like, figure out how much effort it would be to replace these freaking speakers. Cause all we have is that the speakers in the back and then the little one that's in the dash at the front.
So it sounds like shit.
So it doesn't matter if Sirius sounds like shit, because everything sounds like shit coming from that radio, that system.
I don't think it would be too hard. You can probably order the parts, but let's see. 80s on 8 is Mark Goodman, Nina Blackwood, and Alan Hunter. The old MTV VJs.
Yeah.
And like I said, I love listening to when Nina's on. Well, Alan Hunter's not so bad either. Mark Goodman, I can take or leave. And that's really, I listen to, if they had a Sirius subscription that had 80s on 8, The Message, and Jeff and Larry's channel, that's probably all I would love to just pay for, just those three. But I know that's not going to happen, but I don't mind. It's not like Sirius is that expensive. It isn't. And, and there's also some other interesting content on those channels too. So, and the app actually, if you stream it via the app, I think it actually sounds better in the app because there's not as much compression. But I don't mind listening to that. And if I can listen to it on my Google Home, you know, I do have to say, like, when if I had to compare the two screens, because I have the Amazon screen, the Echo Show 5, and a Google Home Hub, I do like the Google stuff better. It seems to be faster. I don't know why. But I can control my lights through both, so. About the only thing I like that's better about the Echo stuff is that whenever I get a shipment from Amazon, my Echo Dots will glow yellow. Not that I need them to, because I hear them hit my Ring doorbell.
What is is that like hooked up with your doorbell and everything? The video, the screen thing you have?
Yeah. They had it. I think it was Black Friday where they had a deal. If you bought the Ring doorbell, you could get the Echo Show 5 for an extra $10. So I said, oh, why not? You know. And the one nice thing is I can say, Alexa, show me the front door, and it'll put the camera on the screen. Oh, and Link got one too, and I was able to talk to Link over the Echo Show 5.
Now, I have a question for you. I noticed this started to happen about 2.5-3 months ago. But I would get a notification early in the morning that my Amazon package was delivered. And it wouldn't actually show up until, like, later on that afternoon. Do you have that?
That's interesting.
And it happened, like, the first time it happened, like, oh, I was just, but it's been happening with, like, some regularity. That it would indicate that the package was delivered, and then it wouldn't actually show up until afternoon.
Was it something actually delivered by them, or was it delivered by, like, the post office?
It's probably the post office. I think everything I've ever gotten delivered that I've never seen any
Prime trucks.
Yeah, I've seen some Prime trucks in this area, but I've never seen them dropping anything off in our neighborhood. It's always been UPS or USPS.
You can tell, by looking at, if the tracking number starts with TBA, that's an Amazon truck.
Okay.
So, but yeah, and it's kind of funny. I actually had, it wasn't an Amazon package, but I had, ordered some, Nespresso pods direct from Nespresso via their app. And, that stuff came, via, I forget, there's the two different variants where UPS or FedEx is SmartPost. I don't remember what the UPS variant is, but it's where UPS handles everything up to the local post office, and then the post office covers the last bit. When the post office has done that, I have had it, and what I think happens is I think as they load the mail truck up for the run, that they scan them, and that's when you get the delivered thing. But in Columbus, I want to say 90% of the stuff I order on Amazon comes on an Amazon truck. So I guess I'm just lucky. I don't know. But that's like I had ordered, Sunday. Saturday or Sunday, we had went shopping grocery shopping, and I bought some like meat and tortillas and stuff. I was gonna make quesadillas, but I forgot that our quesadilla maker I got rid of because it broke. So I went on Amazon Sunday and I ordered it on Sunday, and I had it for dinner on Monday, which is just unreal to me. Still.
Wait, what did you have on? You ordered on Sunday.
A quesadilla maker.
Oh, okay.
Make quesadillas. I mean, I guess I could have just used a fry pan to do it, but I like the maker because it's a lot easier to clean up. You know,
mm-hmm.
wet paper towel and dry it off, and that's pretty much done. In fact, I like the new one I got better too, because there's less nooks and crannies for the cheese and stuff to go into. My main problem right now is the tortillas we bought are not quite big enough. I mean, they work, but I get a little bit extra cheese coming out of them, where if I had bigger tortillas, that wouldn't happen. But that makes a nice semi-healthy meal that's quick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then Monday I had an appointment with my sleep doctor, and I don't know how, but between my sleep doctor's visits, I lost 14 pounds.
Oh, good for you, sir.
I have no idea because of how that happened, because I ate like shit and didn't go to the gym at all in December. Especially when we went to Texas Day Brazil. Oh.
You love that so Brazilian place, huh?
Oh, man, that shit's good. I forget, like I said, we have two of them in Columbus. I think we have both of them, both the chains that do the Brazilian barbecue stuff. But, and I took Luke over to, Gyro City for dinner yesterday. And I don't know if he's ever had one before, but like, he got a lamb gyro or gyro. And, boy, he ate that up, man. He loved it. And I don't know why, but I got onion rings instead of fries, and now I wish I would have got the fries instead, because they make their fries with Greek spices. So, like, oh, shoot, I don't know what all kind of Greek spices there are that they'll put on them fries, but they're good. So, you have a nice Christmas with your family there, Dan?
Yeah, Paige was in with the J-Dog, and we had a nice Christmas at home. Everybody was happy. It went very quickly, unfortunately, like they always do.
I know, right?
Smoked the prime rib, and that was really good. Loved it. Everything went fast, though, man. I was like...
I know, right? It's like it's over already. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, it was weird last week. Did you go back to work last week after the New Year?
Yeah. Well, actually, I went to work on December 30th and 31st, too.
Oh.
It was boring as hell, but I went to work.
I had off up until from, like, what was that? That Friday before Christmas was my last day, and then
yep.
I had off all the way up through January 1st, and then I was back to work on the 2nd.
Yeah, well, I was going to, but, I don't know. I might next year. Now, I tell you what I am going to do this year, and I'll put it this way. We're going to make it work. Try and make it work. Not going to go to Southeast Linux Fest, but I am registered for the Midwest RepRap Festival, which is April, 3rd, 4th, 5th, right around my birthday. In Goshen, Indiana.
How long is it going to take you to get there?
I think it's about 3 hours.
Wow. That's not bad.
No. I actually looked into possibly getting a flight, which the closest is I forget what the closest airport is. I looked into it, but it's like $800. It's like, nah, I'll drive. It's not even a tank of gas. And I've already got my reservation in hotel-wise for the Dayton Hamvention. I actually need to get the hotel set up for Murph yet. But it's exciting. Hopefully get to meet some of the 3D printing guys from YouTube. Like, I don't know. I don't know if Jerry's going to go. That would be Barnacles. But like Joel Telling may go, and Thomas Sandlander, or the 3D printing dudes. So I want to see that. I think it was called the White Knight, I think it was. They basically made a 3D printer where the bed was a treadmill almost. All right, so what would happen is it would print one of the objects and then would just start printing it again and again and again. In an infinitely long print bed.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, I'd like to see that in action. So I'd love to get me CR10 V2. I think that's the one I want. The newest version of the CR10, which comes with the bed leveling ABL sensor and a filament runout detector.
How much do those run?
I think roughly 400, I think. I think that's what, how much that one is.
Wait, how many 3D printers do you have right now?
Just two.
Just two. Just two, right?
Yeah, my little one I don't fire it up very often.
They're going continuously, huh? You could
it's
have.
It's not going now. Yeah, it's not going now, but...
Your little one is the one with the unheated bed?
Correct. That's why I don't use it that much.
You're going to use it more in the summer?
Well, I actually have a kind of interesting hack I've done with it, which seems to work better. I did 3D print a improved nozzle for the fan, so it gets a little bit better cooling. But I tried it with a hairdryer. It did work, but I got a hairdryer, cheap hairdryer, and what I'll do is I'll shoot that at the bed full blast, you know, for a good maybe 5 minutes.
What about an enclosure?
That's an option. That's an option. But honestly, that has been enough. So what I'll do is I'll do that, and that helps with some of the warping and stuff that I'll get because the bed's not heated. Generally, though, I don't have to do that. It's just on the bigger prints that I do on that.
With a hairdryer and an enclosure.
Yes. Yeah, I can just basically put a tube at the top and then just shoot the air in that way, and then it'll help keep the air in there a little bit longer. But I only ever print PLA on that anyway, so... But the other one, I haven't printed anything but PLA or TPU at this point. TPU is a flexible filament.
Yeah. But, I'm thinking my 3D printer needs like another $100 part, and I really don't want to do it again.
Just go buy a new one.
Yeah, at this point.
Yep. You can get like an Ender 3 Pro or something like that.
Yeah. Buy a newer one that doesn't need as much maintenance.
Yeah. The one
when I have
okay,
the extra money,
but,
though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I really like I look at the Ender 3 and the CR10s. It's really the same printer because they take all the same parts. The same nozzle, the same hot end, the same, almost the same everything. Very rarely is there much of a difference between one Ender, like between an Ender 3 or a CR10, other than maybe the frame is different or where the board goes and things of that nature. So I really like that engine. It seems to be very good. And it's one of those things where if I had the money, I would not mind at all getting an Audi Maker, but no. Yeah, let's see. The CR10 V2 is true 300 by 300 by 400, so it's got a bigger build surface. And... pretty sure it has ABL on it too. Plus, they also ship the V2 with brackets that stiffen the frame a little bit, so you get a little bit less of the ringing. Although I'll say this, I don't get much ringing on my CR10 Mini. Yep. I wouldn't mind getting a dual extruder one, too, at some point. But to be honest, I've heard the dual extruder ones are more trouble than they're worth sometimes.
Probably.
Yep. Oh, and I believe... there is also, I don't know if it's coming with it, but there's also a direct drive variant of the CR10 V2. So instead of the Bowden tube, you have the extruder right on top of the hot end. Better for printing flexible filament. Significant upgrade to the CR10 Mini.
Go ahead.
Let's see, because I see people taking their CR10 Minis and their Ender 3s and adding ABLs and all this other stuff to it, and it's like by the time they invest the extra money in the parts, they might as well just bought the other printer.
Yeah, but they do get a bit more knowledge doing it that way.
True, but it's not knowledge that you can't get the other when you get the other one too. You know, like they'll buy the apparently there's a driver. I don't know if it's the SCRs for the drive the hot end and the steppers. But apparently there's a board you can get that makes your printer quieter. Which I'm not sure.
How loud is it?
Honestly, I've had it on and been in a call. Like, I had it on when I was talking with Link over the Echo Show. And he couldn't even hear it.
Well, that's not bad. It's not like
Not like my freaking KitchenAid, man.
It's not like what's going to happen when Joe fires up that Dell, is it?
Not at all.
I have to get drives before I can fire up that Dell. And figure out how to hook it up. I mean, I've never had one before. I know nothing about a SAN.
So, after the New Year's Eve show, I got a bug in my ass to make sure all my systems were at the latest versions of available operating systems. So,
and you broke shit.
No, I didn't. I didn't. So I had already done the Ubuntu one. No, wait, no, I didn't. I just did the do release upgrade to what is the latest version of Ubuntu right now?
1910.
What's it called?
Hell, I don't remember the animal anymore.
Yeah, what's
the? I thought they were moving away from using the animal names, though.
No, they're. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Why wouldn't they even know? You know, I should.
One of them was Erskine Ermine.
No, this is Yon Ermine.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 1910.
Yon. Okay. I did 1910. That absolutely no problem whatsoever. Arch. Every time, you know, every so often on Arch, there is something that you have to manually intervene with, like when they've changed certain package names. And
right.
So, and I'm used to that. But when I went to go do Fedora, it was the same problem I had on Arch. They're like, I can't, you know, it, you click that button in there. It says, hey, there's a new release of Fedora Workstation. Click the upgrade to it, and it just sits there downloaded. And then like a half hour later, it says, can't do it because this package conflicts with that package. And they're both the same.
Oh,
like
boy.
It's like the same name, but a different version. And I'm like, so I just like went looking around, and apparently now here was the thing. Like I just removed that package, right? And then tell it to install again. And it worked just fine. It wasn't difficult to fix, but I kind of was used to that, a little bit of Arch. I thought it wouldn't be like that with Fedora, but hey. So now I'm at the latest on Fedora Workstation 2. Very good. Very happy, yep. But I'm itching to go back to Slackware again for a while.
Oh boy.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I'm going to take that plunge, maybe. When I get sick of Fedora, I'll probably go to Slackware.
And how much Slackware knowledge have you lost by not using it all this time?
Slackware's like riding a bike. Once you learn, you never forget. right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll be like, oh, I can't get Docker running on Slackware. I don't know. Forget it. Yeah, it shouldn't be too hard. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. All the good stuff going on. But I did, I mentioned this on the, it had to be the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show. My daughter wanted a laptop. My wife got her a laptop. I wasn't involved in any of this stuff. It came
Windows. With Windows
10 installed. And I
and
know,
your daughter hated it? No.
Well, I don't know if she hates it or not. What's interesting is, and I don't know if I said this before, but my other daughter, Helena's laptop, I think I mentioned this, didn't, she, that had Windows on it, and it just stopped working, and it couldn't get it working again. And so I was like, it's not recovering from the whatever it was. It's not working anymore. Best I can do is Ubuntu. She's running with Ubuntu upstairs. Been running for like 2 months now. Not a problem. Like there it's that's a beautiful thing. Now the day that my daughter got the laptop, they wanted to watch something on Netflix. I think it was, and so she wanted to watch it on Chrome. And I'm like, well, and I wasn't involved. And she comes down to me, she's like, I can't install Chrome. It will not let me install Chrome
because of course not.
It's got Windows 10 Home Edition in SP mode, right?
Oh, okay, okay. That,
so
that
she's like,
okay,
I can't get it out of there because it wants the Windows code. And I'm like, all right, I'll take a look at it. So I'm like, I go to the fact.
I think it's free.
Right. I go to the fact about Windows 10 SP mode. Cause like I went to the website or I went to what she ordered just to make sure I understood like what it was supposed to come with. And it said it comes with Windows 10 Home Edition.
10S. Right.
And it said Windows 10 Home. And then it said it's in Home in SP mode.
Right.
So I'm like, I have no idea what the hell that means. So I went and I started reading the fact and it's like, well, you could shut SP mode off. It's a secure mode. Right? You could shut it off. So
basically what it does is it forces you to go, the only way you can add apps to it is going through the Microsoft Store.
Right. And if you go to a Microsoft Store and search for Google Chrome or
it's not there.
Or Firefox, it's $3.99 for the manual. Somebody wrote a manual for both of those, right? It's so freaking shady and deceptive. But you have the Google Chrome logo or the Firefox logo, and it says Firefox or Google Chrome.
That's the look.
And then underneath it is a little smaller. It says handbook or manual or something like that. It's like $3.99. I'm like, how many people got duped by that? I'm like, $3.99. You can kiss my ass. I ain't paying for that. Right. So I go to the fact and it says to turn it off, you go to like the settings and Windows update or security or whatever it was. And I followed the directions and sure enough, that did not work. Right. I followed those paths. I knew where I had to end up and I ended up in the spot, but the way the directions told you how to get there did not match at all the path I had to take. So it come to find out, like it asks for when you go to it's a little deceptive. At that point, because I think my daughter didn't realize that she did follow directions. She did shut off SP mode. But instead of just staying with Google or Windows Home, I think she thought she had to get professional.
Oh, professional, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when it asks you to put in either pay by
which
or put in the code. And there's no code. Like I looked all over. There's no code on the laptop. There's no code that was included with it. There's no recovery disk, nothing like that. So I'm like, on a lark, I just went and I tried to download, Google Chrome and it was no problem. I got it installed and that was fine. It kept telling me that maybe instead of using Google Chrome, I should use Edge, which is the better browser. And I said,
fuck off.
I'd care less whether it's a better browser. I ain't using this damn thing. It's not mine. So get it out of here.
I just searched. Yeah, I searched on that, and I get actually two things. That the first two things are Google Chrome user.guide for $289,
okay,
and Google Chrome beginner's guide, which is $1.89, and neither one of them will let me review them so that I can tell them that they're bullshit.
Yeah, this is the same thing. You'll find it for Firefox too. And I was like, oh, how are they getting away with that?
I ought to buy it just so I can say this is a fucking ripoff, because that's bullshit. But see, I have a Surface Pro. Never had SP mode enabled because I have a Surface Pro. But I know the S stuff is. I don't know what other devices that run S mode. I know the Surface, like the Go does, and a few other devices that do as well. But everyone that I've ever seen, you can also turn off that mode. So, you know. In fact, I need to do some cleanup on my.
Oh, you know what? You know what happened, Joel? Oh, this. I haven't looked at it yet, but I was like in the closet in the bedroom, and I was like, oh, there's my Jai. And I pulled it out and put it on top of the dresser, and like last week my wife knocked it off the dresser onto the floor.
And it's dead.
I don't know. I didn't try, because I'm trying to find the cord, because I think it needs to be charged. I didn't look at it after it fell. I'm like, I hope it didn't shatter the screen. I hope.
Yeah, my battery is long gone on my... But yeah, I actually need to clean some stuff off. Actually, you know, actually, here's the interesting thing I ran into with my drone over the holidays, where the Mavic Pro has what they call forward vision sensors. Okay, uh-huh. So it's basically so that it will not, like, if it's heading towards like a tree or a wall, it'll stop the drone. Okay, so it doesn't crash into the tree or the wall. Okay. So, I went to fly it, and it told me that I had to calibrate the sensors. And at first I couldn't figure out you have to point the drone a certain way. And I thought it was meaning that you had to face yourself. And really what it meant was I actually had to make it, face the ground. Once I did that, I was able to calibrate it with the app itself. But then after that, the app told me that it needed additional calibration, so I had to use something called the DJI, what's it called? DJI Assistant 2, which is a Windows application. Which, that's okay, because I have my Surface with me. So what you do with it is, you plug it into the drone. There's a micro USB port on the drone. So you power it up, plug it with the USB cable in, and it puts up like dot patterns and whatnot on the screen, and you point it at that. And then you basically, as long as you follow the directions that it tells you to, it will recalibrate those vision sensors. And they are important. You do want to do that. But that's the only time I've ever had to hook it up to a computer to do anything. But if it was flying fine without that, but it was probably gonna have an issue with it if I try to fly it into something. So I'm wondering because that calibration was off, last few flights I've had with it, if I was flying in the direction of the sun, it would start to give me the collision alerts when I was pointing towards the sun. So in that case, I just turned it around and flew it away from the sun, and it was fine. But I'm wondering if that's why, because that calibration's been out of whack, but not out of whack enough for it to complain about it. I don't know, but first little problem I've ever had with it, to be honest, other than just the normal calibrate, because you, every once in a while you do need to calibrate like the gyros and stuff that are in it, so that it has a better sense of its attitude and the compass too. So, but that's easy enough to do. And that's something you probably, I probably should do it more often than I do. But, oh well. It's, I haven't crashed it once yet, except for the one time where I accidentally, and good thing for me, he was wearing pants, but I was flying kind of close to the ground and I clipped my son's, pant leg with the prop. And it did fall, but nothing broke, nothing even scratched. So, I mean, not even the prop broke. So, but never crashed it yet. Except for that little one, which I don't really count.
Yeah, well, we gotta start wrapping stuff up. What were you gonna say?
Let's see, my
going.
Yep, my dad. This is where I tell people don't be afraid to spend money on, like, if you're trying to, you want to get into drone flying, don't go buy a toy one because they are absolute crap. Every one I've ever tried has not been good. My dad bought one. We finally got it to charge up and fire up. But every time you'd take it off, it would list to one direction or the other, and I could never figure out why. Because it was a cheap drone, probably cost less than $20. So don't waste your money on that. Get a good one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
All right. That's the first episode of this year, huh?
Yep. Yep. Oh, tomorrow I get to go help the new pastor switch over our live stream stuff.
What do you stream to? Is it Facebook or YouTube?
We paid for a service called Sunday Stream.
Okay.
Which is a church-specific one. And I think it's one where they're okay with you playing CCLI or... CCLI is a licensing system, so that you can sing, any CCLI song to your church and have it on live streams and recordings and whatnot, and they won't care about it.
Oh, that's cool.
So, they were recently bought by another service.
Is that good or bad?
We'll find out.
All right. That you will.
Yeah. Sunday Streams was bought by a company by the name of Boxcast. And what they're doing is they're moving us over to Boxcast, which I believe they are also a church and worship-oriented service. So I'm not a fan of that. I'd much rather go to like something like YouTube or Facebook, to be honest, but... It is what it is.
You would think, though, you know, like, if you were a streaming platform for churches, which Boxcast is, and you bought Sunday Streams, wouldn't you rather change your company's name to Sunday Streams? That seems more like...
It seems more like church-oriented, right?
Yeah, that's like, you know exactly what that is for. Like, Boxcast, I'm like, that could be anything.
Yep. The nice thing, though, is I think they don't charge us, like, for the amount of storage or anything we have.
Okay.
And you can go in and, like, for example, you can clip out, like, the beginning and the end. So if you start to stream and things aren't completely 100% stable after the service is over, you can actually get, and actually what we do is we clean it up. You know, so we'll trim off the ends and then we will insert, I think they insert a greeting, that was recorded by the pastor. Although we'll probably have to redo that at some point. And I know they do that at the end of the stream. That's the last thing. What they'll do is they'll switch all the cameras off and they'll play the video clip, in the streaming software, over the stream, that basically says, hey, that's the end of the service. If you want to donate money, blah, de, blah, de, blah, you know, that kind of stuff. So, but, The interesting thing with it, though, is when we started doing streams of our church services, we actually get people who will donate money that's never set foot in their building, which is pretty freaking awesome. So, but there's more going on with that. We don't have a new name yet. That's going to come yet this year. And there's some other things that I'll talk about off stream. Because mostly of is there's not a lot of people who know yet. So, in case, thanks for listening, everyone.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Here are the 2020 promos are the same 2019 promos. So here they are.
Woo-hoo!
Oh! Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit LHSpodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your mind.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo, 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. But join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush.
Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
When you were making it pretty young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What are we going to do, Joel?
I don't know.
Go to the gym, right?
I need to, yeah.
All right, say goodnight. I'm going to stop the recording.
Good night. Damn. Let's see. Been to Tennessee. Made a cool drone video down there.
She made some drone porn, huh?
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do it until we start the show, because every time I get into it, you're like, wait, stop for the show.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Blah. I'm ready for it to be Saturday already. I really am. Although you'd be proud of me, Daniel. I went to the gym Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Good for you, man. That's great.
Yeah, I was going to go tonight, but my wife has, like, had some training, and Luke doesn't like when I drive the other car, so I figure I might just take tonight off. But that's okay. If I go Thursday and Friday, then I'm good. I was going to go today, but I was in the middle of a call, and we had our week, or a daily, we started off with weekly cabs, but now we're doing cabs as a cloud advisory board or something like that. It's basically where they review the changes. And
cab is a change advisory board.
Change advisory board. Thank you. Sorry. Too many acronyms. Anyway, so I was in the middle of that call because I have some changes. Like I have one scheduled tomorrow and then another one to Friday, and then Moy says, "Oh, I'm gonna go to the gym." I'm like, "Fuck!" So I was gonna go at lunchtime today, but no, she had to go, and then she has this training and stuff that she had to go to today. Yeah. I've been doing 30 to 40 minutes on cardio. That's really all I'm doing right now is cardio. But dude, I've gone a ton, so that's good.
Wait, you said your wife had to go to training?
Yeah, she technically has two jobs.
Oh, wow.
Of them is her data entry job that she's had for years. And then once Luke turned 18, she can be his, his assistant, or not assistant, like aide, I guess. So she actually gets paid for that by the county. And that's what this is for. It's like safety shit. Stuff like, you know, common everyday stuff that, you know, for some reason the state makes you take training once a year on. So she had to do that.
Like first aid and CPR and stuff like that?
Yeah. Like that. So she had to go do that, and she's there until 9 o'clock. I don't know. I still might go tonight after the show, because I'm usually up for 30, 40 minutes afterwards anyway. And I got to see Rise of Skywalker and The Mandalorian.
Two of things I have not seen at all.
Today, someone gave me an Equalogic PS6500.
Uh-huh.
And I have no clue what to do with it.
Stroke it. That's what you do with it.
Oh, probably.
Hey, Pat, what's going on, man?
Happy New Year.
Is that
Happy New Year,
that
buddy.
A Dell system?
Yeah.
Well, how cool is this? Well, cool and uncool, because I didn't even know. We subscribe to Fubo TV for TV. And, some local Fox TV stations are no longer available on Fubo because of the Sinclair Sinclair Broadcast Group, the company that owns the stations, will no longer allow us to broadcast them. It says, "We didn't want, nor did we expect the change, but we do want to make it up to you, so we applied a $5 discount to your next three payments, for a total of 15 savings. Stay tuned, because in coming weeks we will announce the addition of even more top source," blah, blah, blah. So that's cool. I get $5 off my TV for the next 3 months.
That's nice.
You can apply that to the payment on your Traverse's internet monthly charge.
I don't pay for that.
What the wife pays for that?
No, it's not turned on. I only turn it on when I need it, and I haven't turned it on in a year.
You only turn the Wi-Fi on once a year? What?
The Wi-Fi, asshole.
Wow, I got you to curse. The show didn't even start.
He's been cursing since he got in.
Yeah, man.
Oh, okay.
It's the new year. It's the new Joel.
It's the new year. You got a lot to catch up on?
No.
Well, what, Joel? You mad at people?
No, he's happy.
Is that why he's cursing? He's happy.
I'm happy.
Is that why when we had dinner you didn't curse at all, because he wasn't happy?
No, I was having good stuff down there, man.
Yeah, you did eat good. I was like, it was one of those
too
situations,
good.
You know, when you're going out and you see people eat and you're like, I should order what they got. But I kind of, I'm suffering a little bit. Maybe the 3-week opened unrefrigerated salsa that I tried tonight wasn't a good idea.
That reminds me,
it's fermented.
Rich, you'll vomit it and then you'll have chutney.
Yeah, is that it?
I've never had a chutney ever, like, man. That stuff is disgusting every fucking
time. When I was down there, my boss took us to, you ever been to a Texas Day Brazil?
Yes.
Oh, so delicious. Much meat.
My, you know, 80-pound daughter enjoys eating a lot. And I did make the mistake of going to Texas Day Brazil with my wife, who
she was the last one to flip her, she was the last one to flip her marker over.
Oh, no, the marker went over immediately on her, you know.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, sausage and grilled sirloin and, oh, so good.
Yeah, I do need to take my daughter there.
Yeah, we have one here in Columbus, but it's all the way up. There's actually two of them. I think there's one downtown, which is not the same place, but the same concept. I'm trying to remember what the name of the other one is. But it's a Brazilian barbecue where they just keep meeting you, you know. And then the other one's up at Polaris, and I tend not to go up there that often.
So, Pat, did 2A Santa come by?
I've got a Galil on layaway.
Ooh, cool. That is definitely a cool one I'd be looking to have.
It was that ATI one that came out a few months back.
Yeah, I don't know if you follow me on Instagram, Pat.
I'm not on Instagram
at all.
I don't do it at all. I have no interest in it.
Oh, okay. So, you know how they did the, like, some people doctored up the post, like, she went to Barrett instead
of
Jared?
Yes, I saw that one.
Oh, you saw that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You put it on Facebook. It's really funny.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm cross-pollinating.
You are. How about that Ruger 5.7?
Yeah, a guy I know got a pre-release in NDA sample, and he's liking it.
It looks pretty fucking good for the fucking price, man. It's gonna be
like
$600.
I was happy to get... Yeah, well, like, street price should be less than that. Like, so their MSRP is $699 on that.
So it's going to be $5-something.
Yeah, so it's probably going to be pretty low. I can't tell you. I don't think I can tell you, of course, if we talk later. But like when you get the T&E, you can always buy it. And the T&E purchase price was like a no-brainer. It was like, damn right, I'm going to keep that.
They're gonna make tons of money off of that gun. It's a home run.
Well, look, the truth is the FN57, I was happy to pay $1,200 because street price was $1,300 when I got it for $12. And, you know, I was at the gun show and I knew what a good street price was. And I said, hey, would you take $12 for it? And they said, yes. And I'm like, here you go.
Dude, I love my Ruger Mark IV Lite with a fucking can. And I picked up one of those Kingslayer micro red dots.
Oh yeah.
Fucking awesome, man.
Cool.
Bang, bang. We ready to go there, Dan?
Do it.
Yeah, just to note, I'm going to have to jet for a little bit because my wife is out with helping Paige. So I got to get the little one to bed soon.
Say hi to Paige for me.
Will do.
Just start your recording and we can get started. You ready for the count around?
Yes.
Is it the Linux and the How House count around?
Yeah.
One hour.
Episode 839.
First one of the new year. Yay!
That's it. All right, give me a count around, Joel.